So choir, huh? You're looking for choir members? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, we all know. We all know. Right, right, right? We all know. Yep, yep, it's true. I'm a singer. Oh, yeah. Ask Andreas. He'll tell you. Ask my son. He'll tell you. Oh, my dad. I'm telling you, he's just the greatest. In fact, I think in our passage today, the reason why Peter didn't catch fish that night was he didn't have me there to sing the fishy song. All right? If I had been there and sung the fishy song, he would have had success that. Because you all know the fishy song, right? Yes? Yes? Good! Then you can stand up and sing it with me. This will be great. Our Valentine's gift to the whole congregation. Won't this be wonderful? See, this is so wonderful. See, you go, did you ever go a fishing on a bright and sunny day? See the little fishes swimming in and out the bay with their hands in their pockets and their pockets in the pants. All the little fishies do the hoochie-coochie dance. Da 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 da. Squish, splash. See? Isn't that great? You may not remember the sermon, but that song is going to haunt you forever. That's terrible. That's terrible that I do this to you, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it, you know. Yep, yep, yep. If you have ever casted fishing nets, you know how back-breaking work that is. It is hard. Have any of y'all ever done that? Even if it's just a circle net, even if it's just a little bait casting, let alone if it's the boat casting net, it's hard work. You're pulling it up, getting nothing. Pulling it up. Sometimes the only thing you catch is a cold. It's just on and on. It's so tiring. And the only thing that makes it even partially worthwhile is if you catch a fish, which actually makes the net even heavier. But there's a little bit of positive reinforcement, the fact that you've caught some fish, and so you're willing to cast it again, and you try again, and you go again. And these are professional fishermen, which mean they have to do it all night long. Throwing it out, bringing it up. Throwing it out, bringing it up. And on this particular night, no fish. No fish. Not only is that tiring, that becomes depressing. When you don't have any success, and you try, and you try, and you try, there is a tendency to want to give up. Have you ever read the book, Old Man in the Sea? Hemingway's book? Remember Santiago? That is a great book, by the way. And it's not that long, okay? It's not like For Whom the Bell Tolls. And Santiago, remember Santiago, the old man? And he starts out there in chapter 1, right there at the beginning. Hemingway tells you, this is not a good guy. He's not a good fisherman. He's not successful. Why? He has gone 84 days. He lives in Cuba. Lives in a very small little room. Doesn't have any money. He has gone 84 days without catching a fish. That means nothing to eat. That means nothing to turn into market to get any money. 84 days with no fish. The little neighborhood boy, Manuin, remember him? All right? He always, he's Santiago's shadow, always hanging out with him. But after 40 days of no fish, Manuin's parents make him go what? Go to a more prosperous boat. You cannot hang out with Santiago near. Nobody likes a failure. Nobody wants to be around you when you fail continually, time after time after time. Can you imagine the look on Peter's face? Peter and the Zebedee crew, and there they are, and they have been working all night. And you know, and you're trying to be polite in that morning. Hey, did you catch anything? How much did you catch? How'd it go? How's it going? You go, I don't want to talk about it. It's kind of like being a Dolphin fan with football. I don't want to talk about it. This is the best time of the season for Dolphin fans. They're not playing. We can't possibly lose anymore. We're doing all right. It's just. And now we get this. You can imagine the look on Peter's face when a carpenter is going to tell him how to catch fish. That's got to make you feel good. That's going to make you feel really, really wonderful. That's what you want to hear. And here's Jesus coming by. And you can just imagine, here's Jesus. Jesus, to me, is sounding a lot like Dory. You know Dory from Finding Nemo? Just keep swimming, just keep. And here's Jesus, you know. Just keep casting. And you're like, I don't want to hear anything more about casting. We toiled all night. We are professionals. We know what we're doing. It's not working. Do you ever want to tell God it's not working? Huh? You ever say, hey God, I tried it your way. It doesn't work. All right? It doesn't work. Your plan isn't going to work. I have tried it. Are you not paying attention? Have you not seen how many times I have failed? I am frustrated. I am tired. I am depressed. I just want to go home and rest. And here comes Jesus. Just keep casting. Just keep. What do? We cast and then cast. Just. But he's Jesus. So you have to listen. You notice that call didn't come while they were in church. Did you hear that? That call to discipleship didn't happen while they were in church. And it didn't happen because they were successful. And it didn't happen because they were educated. And it didn't happen because they were devout. And they were the most devout group in all of Capernaum. In all the region of Galilee, there were not more devout, religious, spiritual, faithful men than these four were the pinnacle, the very top. You can't get better than this group. No. They are flunking fishing and that's their job. They're failures. They're frustrated. They're depressed. They're tired. They're hungry. Because they didn't catch any fish. You don't catch any fish, you don't get to eat. They're poor. Why? Because they didn't catch any fish. Are you catching the theme here? You don't catch any fish, you don't have anything to go to the market to sell. If you can't sell something at the market, then you can't buy something at the market. Which means you're going to go home. And what's going to happen when you get home? Family's going to want to know. What are we having for dinner tonight? We are just going to sit by a campfire and sing Kumbaya. And allow the grace of God to just fill our stomachs. And to fill our... You're like, yeah, we had that last night. We're kind of tired of that. Could we have fish? There's a lot of fish in the lake. Can't we have some of that, please? And these are not qualified guys, nor do they become qualified. You know, there's a tendency sometimes, we were talking about this in Bible study, there's a tendency sometimes to want to put the disciples up on a pedestal. Oh, if only I had the faith of Peter. Really? You should read about Peter, okay? He's hardly the poster child for how to be a disciple. In fact, he's the poster child of how not to be a disciple. He's the worst disciple. He denies Jesus 3 times after Jesus told him in the last course of the dinner, by the way, before dessert, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. That would never happen. Yeah, that's Peter. All right? Peter's the one that wants to try to walk on the water. I'm going to come out to you, Jesus. Watch me, Jesus. I can blah, 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 blah. That's why they called him the rock. That's how he swam. The whole point is that Jesus takes a night of failure. And he takes this group who have done nothing but fail. And they're tired. And they're depressed. But now it's a new dawning. You catch that? This is the next morning. It's a new dawning. And Jesus gives to them a new calling. And it isn't based on their success. And it isn't based on their potential. It's based only on their willingness to be obedient. You see, a lot of people, they're always hanging around in the waiting end, the shallow end of the waiting pool of God's grace. You ever notice that? Some people, they just want to stick their toe in. And that's as deep as they ever go. But Jesus is calling them to... Did you hear what he said? Go out into the deep. Jesus calls into a deeper life of discipleship. He's telling us to dare to trust in Him. And you say, I barely... And it's not like you're progressing. It's not like, oh, you can play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Now let's move on to Rachmaninoff. No. It's like you can't play chopsticks, but here you go. We're going to the next category. He doesn't do this based on their past success. It isn't like they have shown Him any qualities at all which would make them think they're going to be any more successful in the deep water than they were in the shallow water. And yet Jesus calls them and says, come into the deeper water. And that's what Jesus is saying to each of us. He's daring us to go into the deeper waters of discipleship. And it is not based on how successful you are. It's not based on how good you are. It's not based on how devout you are. It's not based on anything except for, are you willing to trust in me more than you trust in yourself? Are you willing to trust in God's grace more than you trust in your own sense of frustration or failure or whatever else it is that sometimes just weighs us down and makes us so heavy and makes it so hard? Jesus is calling us into a deeper water of discipleship. And to do that means we have to be willing to trust in Him. And that's hard to do sometimes. You know, we want to say, hey, you don't want me, Jesus. You don't want me. You know, you get to a point in your life, you're going, have you not been keeping record? Have you not seen my report card? Have you not seen the number of times I have failed? We were talking about this in Bible study. There's times I can't get from the sanctuary to my office before I'm already all messed up. Have you ever noticed that? I preside here at the table of grace, asking God to forgive me, and I can't get to my office before I've sinned again. How long can it last? Sometimes not very long. Sometimes not very long at all. And yet God's call continues to come forth. I'm calling you to a deeper life, to experience the mysteries of God's grace, to understand that it's not based upon our works. It's based on our willingness to trust in God and not in ourselves. Our willingness to be able to go beyond what our experiences have been and what we have seen. There's a temptation sometimes, especially for experienced Christians. You know, because the new ones, they're all fresh and alive. Oh, nothing's too hard for God. Oh, my God. We become apathetic owls who don't give a hoot. You ever notice that? There's that temptation. There is that temptation. We start the Christian life, we have these high hopes, we have all these great expectations. We believe that God can do anything but fail. And then we look at His team roster and we're going, well, we're going to do nothing but fail with this team. Don't you have a different group? Isn't there another crew? You could imagine James and John. You go, okay, it's okay to listen to Jesus, but don't listen to Peter because Peter doesn't know anything about fishing. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. When we dare to trust in Jesus to move into the deeper waters of discipleship, we can discover an abundant and amazing catch of love and grace that ripples beyond us and into the lives of other people. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You've got to keep that hunger alive. You keep thirsty. That's the road. That's the path that leads to satisfaction. That allows us to begin to distinguish and discern the difference between a career and a calling. Linda Claire, you don't know her, but she's a daycare worker. Doesn't work here in West Palm. And she talks about a time when she was going through a really dark, difficult time. Because I know you all think working with three-year-olds is just the greatest thing in the world. But it was beginning to wear down on her just a little bit. And she said, I was going through a dark time, and it was a really dark day. And I was just thinking and feeling sorry and just thinking to myself, is this all there is to life? Me, the rest of my life, just babysitting. I'm nothing but a glorified babysitter. That's all I do. I'm not making a difference. I'm not making a change. That very day, Father comes to pick up his toddler, Carrie. And he says, are you Miss Claire? And she says, yeah. He goes, I just want to thank you. What? She goes, because Casey's been telling us about this prayer that apparently you guys say every day for lunch. And now she's making us say it at dinner. And now she wants us to find a church. Isn't that nice? That little ripple. You teach a three-year-old to say a grace before she has her peanut butter and jelly. And she goes home and teaches her parents that same prayer. And now they're looking for a church. God's grace touches us in amazing ways. It's powerful. It's powerful. Howard Hendricks talks, he's an educator and author, and he was talking about, he was on a plane and they hadn't taken off. You know how some of you who have fly all the time, do you know how it can be? When you hear about it on the news, they're on the Tamarack and they're just sitting there and they're sitting there and they're not going anywhere and everybody's getting tired and everybody's getting frustrated and you can't go to the bathroom and you can't get a drink, which makes no sense because if you can't go to the bathroom, why you want a drink? But anyway, so everybody's aggravated and they're frustrated. And who do they yell at? They yell at the flight attendant as if the flight attendant has anything to do with any of this. She's stuck on the same plane you are. All right, it's not like she gets to go a secret compartment or another plane. She's just as frustrated. And now she has a whole plane load of whiny, frustrated, yelling people acting like a bunch of preschoolers who are supposed to be adults. But Hendricks notice there was this particular flight attendant. And she was just as gracious, just wonderfully kind and compassionate with each customer, taking time. I am so sorry. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your understanding. Yes, I know it's terribly difficult. It's hard. I hope it won't last much longer. But thank you for understanding. Each customer, each client, each passenger, taking time to speak to them, to talk with them, to encourage them, to support them. Finally, the plane gets up and we're going, and she's coming by to do the drink thing and all of that, and she's serving Hendrick, and he wants to say, hey, who do I write the letter to? I want to commend you to your bosses at this airline. You were the... She goes, oh, I don't work for the airline. He goes, what? He goes, no, I work for Jesus Christ. She goes, in fact, this morning my husband and I had a prayer that I would have an opportunity to extend God's grace today. Does she have a career or does she have a calling? Does Linda career, Clara, does she have a career or does she have a calling? Where you are in your life, what you're doing with your life, do you have a career or do you have a calling? Are you willing to trust in Jesus? To dare to go into the deeper waters of discipleship? To give up the shallow end? To trust in God's grace? Trust in God's mercy? Not because you're good, but because God is good. And when you are willing to be obedient to God's call, there is always, always, always going to be an amazing catch. Amen.